Mark chapter 4, verse 23 to 25. You there? Okay, I'm going to read. Reading from the NLT translation. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. So spiritual growth or spiritual maturity should not be a mystery to us. Yet those who spend time in the church will likely to notice there are various levels of spiritual growth among the members. Needless to say, some grow slower than the others, some grow more quickly, and sadly, some don't grow at all. So why is it that some people do not mature beyond spiritual infancy? Most Christians, if you ask them, they would probably tell you this. Yes, they would like to grow closer to the Lord. You know, they would like to have a deeper understanding of God. But sometimes those who say such things, they begin to grow, but many times they find themselves in the same position of stagnation after years after years. And the Bible does warn us that there will be many who are ever learning but not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, this is not unique in our present time. If you remember in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, Apostle Paul actually admonishes one of the members of the churches when he said that by now, and I quote, by now, you should be teachers instead. You need someone to teach you. Again, the first message you need to know from God's word. You still need milk instead of solid food. So why is the spiritual stagnation or not growing is a problem for us today? Why are there so many Christians that get stuck in the cycle of learning the basic and yet they do not grow? Now, I believe the Bible gives us answers, and I'm also confident that if you apply these things, you will not be left in spiritual immaturity state. In fact, the Bible promises that if you follow specific principles, you will be fruitful and find the doors of heaven wide open. And when we look at the passages that will teach us shortly, let's begin with the word of Jesus, which hits at the heart of the problem. And this is it. Hear and take heed. Hear and take heed. Now, from the scripture we've just read, there's only one meaning to what Jesus said. He begins by declaring, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus often made these declarations before giving truth to people. Throughout the gospel and in the book of Revelation, after Jesus addresses the seven churches, he closes by saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 13, the Lord says that many see, but they don't actually see. And many hear, but they don't actually hear. So hearing the people shall hear, but not understand. So the question for us is today, do we have ears to hear? What distinguishes those who understand from those who do not understand? Let's look at this in great detail through the scriptures in Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 to 16. If you've got the Bible, please turn to Matthew 13, verse 10 to 16. All right, Matthew 13, verse 10 to 16. Verse 10 says, and the disciples come and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of these people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So this is a similar passage to the one we read in Mark, but it adds a little bit more details that are also relevant to our topic. So what's the difference between those who were given understanding and those who were not given? And simply the answer is this: their response to action, putting faith into action. In the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 3, it says that God has given each of us a measure of faith and gifts as well. And in verse 6, the scripture went on to say that we are to use them. Those that choose to act on God's word were given understanding, while those that choose to do nothing and reject the truth, God indeed will harden their hearts and to give them what they desire in their hearts. The cross-reference of the scripture is found in Romans chapter 9, verse 18, that says, "So you see, God chooses to show mercy to some, and he chooses to harden the hearts of others, so they refuse to listen." I'm going to give an illustration. There are two people, right, hearing the same sermon. Let's call the first person Agus and the second person Bagus. I use the same, this name because I was speaking to an Indonesian congregation a couple of weeks ago. Right? So both men, they were given a measure of faith. Both men listened to the same sermon. Right? Mr. Agus decides to step out in faith and into action. As he takes the first step of faith, God begins to reveal some truth to him and guide his steps. Then he begins to understand a little bit more about God through the experience he has, and his faith increases little by little. Then he takes the second step, and God will reveal more truth and causes him to understand the scriptures more and more, and thereby he grows in spiritual maturity. Now, on the other hand, Mr. Bagus, despite what his name means, in Indonesian it means Mr. Good, after hearing the sermon, he does nothing. He does nothing because either he doesn't understand, or he doesn't seek to find understanding, doesn't seek to find the truth, or he simply is just not interested, taking matters pertaining to God's word and God's kingdom lightly and casually. See, in the kingdom of God, no one can be lukewarm, no one can be neutral, no one can be sitting on the fence, so-called. We are either for God or we are against God. We are either cold or hot. We are either wheat or weed. Pastor Greg Rory mentioned there are two types of sins. The first is sin of commission, which means doing things we are not supposed to do. And the second type of sin is sin of omission, which is not doing the things that we ought to do. When we do nothing after hearing the word of God, we are committing the sin of omission. So going back to my illustration, so what happened to Mr. Bagus? He does nothing. And whatever little measure of faith he has, God will take it away. And every time Mr. Bagus hears the word and does nothing, a little measure of faith will be taken from him until his heart is completely hard and cold towards God. The moral of the story is not because Mr. Agus has more faith and understood what he heard, and that is why he acted on the word of God. That's not the moral of the story. The moral of the story is that after hearing, he actually does something. So that's what faith is. It's not just merely believing, but to act on it. Remember the story when Peter saw Jesus walking on water. What did he say? He cried to the Lord and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me also to do likewise, to come to you on water." That's faith in action. And the danger of inaction is that our hearts will become harder and harder. And the scriptures tell us in the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 21 to 27, that God gives people over to their own corruption if they ignore or if they reject the truth in their hearts. And it is indeed a judgment of God when he gave someone up to his or her vile passions. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 to verse 12, it says, quote, "Because they did not receive the love of the truth, God will send them a strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasures in unrighteousness. When people close their eyes to hide themselves from the truth, God gives them over to the lie that they have chosen. And to close one's eyes is to choose that lie. The lie could be a desire for a particular sin. But more often than not, it is the false belief in our own ability, in our own strength and wisdom. See, when I think that my ways are above God's way, I am in rejection of the truth. And without faith, we know that it is impossible to please God. When I choose my ways over God's, I'm closing my eyes to the truth by turning away from seeing the word. Therefore, I'm declaring my disbelief in His word and my faith in my flesh. Now, this is not only something that divides the believer and the unbeliever. It is also something that divides. It's a dividing line between the mature and the immature, the one who struggles and refuses to grow. See, many people will declare their desire to grow, but when challenged to give up their time in prayer and reading the scripture, for example, they decline. Many people will declare their desire to grow, but when offered the chance to be discipled, they decline. And what does the scripture say? In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, it says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." That's rather sad. When we say one thing, we want to be close to God, but yet our action does not reflect that. The scripture says that we are just paying lip service to God, but our heart is actually far from Him. Compare this to the disciples whom Jesus said, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." The disciples heard the word, then came to the Lord seeking understanding. So in other words, they did something. They heard the word, they did not understand, but they went to Jesus seeking explanation. Others hear the word, they nodded their head and they walk away. It didn't change their life. They found very little value in truth and didn't bother following through or seeking to understand what they had heard. Some respond with apathy, while others don't want to face God's call to surrender their lives. See, the beauty of God's word is that we cannot receive it without us changing our lives. Because the word of God convicts us, the word of God rebukes, corrects, guides, and teaches us to do the right thing, to go the right way. And since the flesh is contrary to the word, those who live their lives in the flesh are forced to close their eyes to the word of God. In other words, to turn a blind eye, to ignore something that we know that is wrong, or to ignore something that we should do. It is actually a deceptive rejection of truth. I can close my eyes and convince myself that I'm not rejecting it, but it is still rejection of the truth. It is a denial of reality. The word of God never goes out without accomplishing its purpose. The word of God is either life-changing or it's heart-hardening. Now, there have been times in my life when God dealt with me, you know, because of my stubborn refusal to obey something that He has said. And when I finally repented and opened my eyes, I realized that deep down, I knew that my decision was wrong. And part of repentance, I believe, was acknowledging, you know, our self-deception. Many Christians stumble in darkness, not because they have no light, but because they will not open their eyes to let the light and the truth in. Some people were afraid to surrender to the Lord, for He may call them to do something that they don't want to do, or give up something that they value. The real heart of the question is, do we love God more than these things? Do we love our lives and possessions more than God? Or do we believe the promise that God will be our exceedingly great reward and that we will inherit and He will give us His kingdom? It is a small thing to sacrifice a passing world in order to receive an eternal kingdom. We know this, yet we sometimes struggle to put our knowledge into practice. So more will be given, or what we have will be taken from us. Mark chapter 4, verse 23 to 25. It says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." This passage also strikes at the heart of the spiritual growth. The concept of God taking away from those who are lacking and giving it to those who have abundance seems to be unfair and unjust, unless we understand what is being said. That scripture is both a promise and a warning. It begins with us hearing the word of God. So when we hear the word read or taught or preached, or even when we read it ourselves, we must take heed and weigh carefully our own response. Philippians chapter 2 verse 12 says that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So it is a serious matter, and we should not take our spiritual health lightly. Notice that we are not to work for salvation, but to work out our salvation. We are to take what has been given and delivered to us through the scripture and sermons and diligently fashion our lives around the word of God. The word of God does not fashion itself around our lives. We fashion our lives around the word of God. We are called to work out our salvation with the word we hear through the scriptures as we apply it to our lives. So faith comes through the word of God. This is why the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The way we work out our salvation and build ourselves upon our faith is by hearing the word and making it part of our life. To take heed to hearing, we are receiving the word, comparing our lives to it, and removing the things which choke the word, while doing the things God is instructing in His word. The reason why people don't grow is because they don't exercise their faith. How can a crowd of people who hear the same word spoken by Jesus, yet some understood Him and have knowledge, and some don't? If we hear the word, receive it as a treasure, meditate upon it, act upon it, and live by it, then we are in the promise of abundance. And our abundance is based on the measure that we choose. Those who toss the word aside are those in the parable of the sown seed in Matthew chapter 13. They don't understand the word, neither do they seek to understand. And because they take the word lightly and casually, what happened? The devil comes and snatches it from their heart. They become the ones who do not have and ended up losing what little they have. Each person who received the word has the opportunity to see it flourish in their lives. Abundance is available to every one of us. So this promise is to everyone who has ears to hear. The word grows abundantly. Our life is filled with abundance. But don't mistake this for physical possession or physical abundance. Because the Lord made it clear that our lives are not measured based on our possessions. A rich man can be in poverty and vice versa. Only a Christian can enjoy the abundant life, whether living in wealth, poverty, freedom, or imprisonment. Our circumstances do not matter. It all depends on our willingness to hear and do the word of God. Let's take a moment to examine what it means to grow spiritually and how this is accomplished in our lives. It is clear from the teaching of the Lord that our growth is dependent upon hearing and obeying the word of God. He reveals truth to us, empowers us by His Spirit, and calls us into obedience. As we submit ourselves under His hand and to act on His word, we begin to grow. And as we grow, God will reveal more to us. This process continues throughout our life, and we slowly conform to the image of His Son, and not conforming to the desires of our sinful flesh. Growth stops once we receive the Word of God. The Lord does not allow us to pick and choose which truth or which scriptures we want to accept. We need to accept all or none. Each step in our maturity is the working of the hand of God. He brings us to truth. And we either resist His hand or we receive the nourishment of His word. I don't believe we can refuse the bread of life and yet still demand another meal. Either we partake the bread of God's word or we starve our soul. If you look back over the past, say, 6 months or 12 months or 18 months and see there's no growth, there's only one reason, that we are malnourished because we are resisting God's word. Another truth is this, that God does not do a spiritual download onto us all at once. He doesn't overwhelm us with spiritual truth in one hit. He does not give us more than what we can handle. And as a Christian, our ultimate goal and the course that God has determined into our lives is to fully conform to the image of Christ. This is in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. In other words, to have Christ-like character. And God has provided everything we need to finish our life strong and to be fully conformed to Christ. Our only limitation is our willingness to surrender and to obey. Unfortunately, sometimes we are immature. And until we begin maturing, we cling on to the selfish will of our old life. Unwillingness to let go of the flesh is why some Christians do not grow into maturity. The habit to remain spiritual infants with self-centered mentality, i.e. the feed me, the give me, pray for me, bless me mentality. When I'm unwilling to let go of my flesh, I cannot experience a spiritual abundance that God wants to put in place of what He has taken away. When I finally yielded for the first time, I can discover the beginning of a spiritual life that I never comprehended before. I could not experience God's abundance until I fully yield my will to His. And until I'm willing to yield to Him, I will never be able to comprehend what is better. See, faith comes before the promise. And for this reason, many Christians cannot trust themselves to God. Therefore, they remain in the current state of spiritual infancy. In ignorance, however, they cling on to their childish things, not knowing something better is in store. Paul alluded to this when he spoke in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. He said, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Many are stuck in childhood stage, unwilling to put away childish things that crowd their lives and prevent spiritual growth. Thankfully, God does not require instant change and conformity. Many times God looked at us, He understood, He had patience, because He remembered, after all, we were only mortal. We were imperfect, fallen man, struggling against our human nature. And even sometimes the most so-called spiritually minded person, from time to time, will have their ways become clouded with confusion. See, the flesh will appeal to our desires and sometimes it will seem right. There's always a way that seems right, but at the end that leads to destruction. But God in His mercy and love chastises us. He prevents us from going down that path. We may temporarily lose our way, but God is graceful enough to lead us towards mercy. The problem is not that we wander off from the narrow path. Occasionally we would. Right? The problem is when we refuse to get back on track, on that narrow track, or we refuse to begin walking towards that narrow path, we get so comfortable. You get so comfortable on the easy street, on the Broadway. And it is during these times that spiritual growth is hampered. Everything in our life serves to direct us back to that narrow path. Those who keep running from the narrow path will have a never-ending cycle of God dealing with them. Some spend their time wondering why God doesn't move in their lives. But we cannot ask God to move in our lives when we push away His hands. Nor can we ask God to reveal more of Himself to us when we refuse to walk in what God has already revealed. When we begin to walk in obedience, God works to establish truth in our lives. And then He reveals more and more. Until we have abundance. This doesn't happen overnight. It is a slow and painful growth. We must mature in what we have been given before we can move on. The scriptures in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9 to 10 says that, with whom will he teach knowledge, and whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breast? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. See, God compares our growth to a nursing child. There must be a time when we are weaned from milk and begin growing. The precepts are given to those who allow themselves to be weaned from milk. And then God begins the process of giving us truth, little by little. The goal is patient endurance. The race is not to the fast, but to the steady. If you look at nature, for example, one of the fastest growing trees is the pine tree. They are tall. One of the slowest growing trees is the oak tree. An oak tree takes decades to grow. Its growth is very slow, but steady. It is hard and strong. When the wind or storms arrive, the first tree that fall, you guessed it, are the tall pine trees. Rarely does an oak tree get toppled by the wind. This is much like the Christian walk. True spiritual growth is a steady, consistent process. It is intended to be a lifelong journey. See, occasionally there will be someone who gets excited about spiritual things and seems to take off like a rocket. More often than not, they topple and are gone. Often they are riding a wave of emotion, and when feelings subside, so does their momentum. At that point, either they get discouraged and fall away, or they begin the steady process of building precept upon precept, line upon line. The foundation upon the Word of God must be built in each of our lives, otherwise we cannot stand. And this can be understood from the scripture, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. Therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears this saying of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now I can picture from this parable, right? Someone building his house on rocks, working extremely hard. Let's call this man Rocky, yeah? Because he built his house on rock. It's a slow process, very painful. Well, across the road, there's another man building his house also on sand. Let's call this person Sandy. Right? Sandy, in no time, finishes building his house. And each time Rocky looks across the road, he sees Sandy's enjoying life, sipping champagne in his porch veranda. He's relaxing because his job is finished in no time. Rocky, on the other hand, would often get discouraged. It's hard to persevere when everyone is looking at him. And I'm sure others would also walk by and look at Sandy relaxing on his veranda and asking and choosing the way over Rocky's way, who is still, by the way, still chipping away, still building his house, making little progress. Everyone would be quick to invest in their dream homes, into the easy building plan. Now I can imagine them talking to one another, wondering why Rocky doesn't just give up. His plan seems to be foolish so long. Well, Sandy is already enjoying his life. Now, how many times would Rocky hear discouraging words, asking him just to throw in the towel? From all outward appearances, the advice may be sound, but it isn't until the storm hits that the truth is separated from the deception. Both men, Rocky and Sandy, endured the same hardship during storm. The storm pounded with equal ferociousness on both men. The house on the rock wasn't spared the storm of life. It is the storm that It is after the storm that life built upon human wisdom and strength was shown to be a tragedy. The Christian walk is no different. Right? Every day we must be digging our foundation. Digging our foundation into the rock, to the Word of God. It is a slow process. It is painful. It is laborious. To do this, we have to give up our leisure time. There have to be sacrifices. People will discourage us. People will tell us to go the easy way, have to go the shortcut way. You might have experienced this. And people try to persuade you, saying that the Word of God is no longer relevant. Just give up your faith. Just give up your belief. There's an easier way. Yeah, of course there are easier ways. Sometimes we will be called foolish even by other Christians. While those around us enjoy leisure time, it will seem silly, you know, when we are laboring over the Word of God, when we are laboring in prayer. It is much easier to sit in front of TV each night than to dedicate ourselves to prayer and the Word. So in the end, the trials of life will reveal each of our foundations. Endurance is given to those who hear the Word of God and do it. It is slow, steady growth, but the most rewarding experience our heart can know. Few things are more satisfying than to know God is speaking directly to us from the Scripture and to see our own life changing. Growth is not what we do. Growth is what God does in us when we nourish ourselves in His Word and surrender to His will. So, in conclusion, we ought to grow, right? We ought to grow in our spiritual walk with God and not remain spiritual infants. We are to reach full maturity, having Christ-like characters and reproducing other believers along the way. The key to spiritual maturity and growth is taking heed to what we hear and applying what we hear in our daily life. Be hearers and doers of God's Word. In the April editions of The Pastor's Heart, the question was being asked, how do we seek God's approval? How do we seek God's approval? By being a doers of God's Word. So each time we hear and apply the Word of God in our life, God will give a little measure of faith to us. As we grow in maturity, we grow in faith and we please Him. Likewise, each time we hear the Word but does nothing or do nothing, we are rejecting God's Word and God will take it away. Whatever little remains in us, whatever little measure of faith, He will take it away. Till to the point that our heart becomes hard and cold towards Him. We become close to Him as well. So my prayer is that none of us will come to that point where God has to harden our hearts because of our refusal to obey Him, our refusal to apply God's Word in our lives. The Bible says today, if you hear His Word, do not harden your heart. You know, be open to God. The key is, are we going to do it? Or are we just going to let it and brush it off? Choice is ours, but we have to make the right choice in our lives because there are always consequences to every choice that we make. God has given us guidance. God has given us warnings to be well informed whether or not we choose to take up the offer or the decision. It's up to us. He's not going to force it upon us. He's not going to force it down our throat and say, you have to do this. But if we choose to do it, if we choose to obey God and apply His Word, we will grow into spiritual maturity and we will not be infants anymore. Amen. Hope the message has blessed you.